Name and Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the fourth month, the seventh day of the year 2024, and it's low day, which is the octave day of the resurrection day. Christ is truly risen.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary.
Alleluia, alleluia.
And all angels, saints, and Catholics, and men of goodwill.
Alleluia, alleluia.
All 20 of them.
All 20.
Anyway, what's that noise?
Is
something blowing up over here. It's a bomb.
Bomb timer.
From the ADL. I was just saying, Brother Alex just got an email from his father asking how he's doing, which is good, you know, because we thought his father was going to completely ignore him, like with St. Patrick, you know, get away from him. How could you choose a life of religion and poverty? Mm-hmm. You were destined for great things. The Marine, honorable discharge, are moving up the ladder in a sinful capitalistic world. How could you choose this, right? Same thing with my family, I was going to say. I mean, I was a big disappointment to them because my father was a doctor. His father was a real rich. He was a bootlegger guy. And all, it's a long story on him. But anyway, he wanted my father to be a doctor, be reputable, and they wanted us to be doctors, medical profession. My brother was a podiatrist, which is a doctor. And so they had high hopes for me with that particular situation, you know. And he always talked about money, too, and I hated it. And always talking about money. Money, 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 money. If you have a lot of money, you're good. You don't, you're evil. So I told the story to the brothers many times, but I said to my aunt, and it's always money. I was talking on to the phone, and she goes, "How you just could be an optician? Yeah, they don't make a lot of money. It's not like a big thing, you know." I went to college and got a BS in, I love chemistry, biochemistry and all that. If I was going to do anything, it would be a scientist. I love science. I love biochemistry and all. I would have done that, but they wanted me to be a doctor. And then not only did I not do that, I went backwards according to them and went to a trade, which was an optician, cutting and making glasses. So, oh, you're not going to be too sick. That's not a lot of money. I said to my aunt, I says, "Look, I'm sick and tired of hearing of money. All right? Money, 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 money." I says, "Look, I got $5,000 in my bank account. I'll give you all of that $5,000 if you shut up about money." I said, "Just shut up about money." Well, that's the way that people think in the world. If God knows we need money, He gives you what you need, and more than what you need, He does. But you got to be willing to live frugal, which doesn't mean cheap, neither. He gives you everything you need, and 100-fold. It's in the scriptures. Remember our Lord said, "If you follow me, I will give you 100-fold in this world and life everlasting."
I'm reading from Mark 10, verses 29 to 30. Jesus answering said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no man who have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who should not receive 100-fold as much now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters, mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, life everlasting."
Beware the Stoics who misinterpret that. They say, "He will give you 100-fold in the next world and life everlasting," because you're not allowed to have, like the poverty thing and all that, poor, would idolize poor people and all that. That's not what he said. He says, "I'll give you 100-fold if you leave all these things in this world and life everlasting." So God gives us everything we need, right? What's the difference if I'm drinking wine out of a gold cup or a glass cup? You know, it's still wine. What happens if I turn a light on and it's a gold light or it's a light, a plastic light? It's the same bulb. I'm not against gold and riches. We're not. We're not class warfare people. If you have money, get the best stuff you can get for the money you have. And churches should be beautiful. But that's the way people think in the world, you know. The worst thing you can ever do is serve God. I mean, according to them. My son's becoming a kook. Why? Because he believes in God. Yeah, he's a kook. He believes in God. I mean, he really believes in God. You know, you go, "Well, I thought you said you believe..." Well, yeah, I believe in God, but not really. You know, I don't talk about him that much. You know, that's why nominal Catholics are practical atheists. You know, the word means practical atheists is they say they believe in God, and they think they believe in God, but they act like He doesn't exist.
That Titus 1:16 or something like that.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, it's
that's Titus 1.
Yeah, yeah.
Titus 1, but I have to find it though.
Servant, no, it's like in all good works, but in all the good works they're reprobate. They profess that they know God,
right?
But in their works they deny Him, and to every good work reprobate.
Yep.
Titus 1:16. So what happens is they're out there, and you want to test them, right? You believe in God? Yeah. I was just reading about God the other day when he said over here, I just love God so much, you know, like, and God was speaking to my heart. You're getting a little, what are you talking about? Well, don't you believe in God? No, don't get too personal. Don't talk about you talk to God, or that God talks to you, or that God is, don't say that stuff. They don't like it, because they don't really believe in God. And they're embarrassed to profess Him when they're out in public, you know. They're embarrassed. They're embarrassed to use the holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nominal Catholics are the worst, by the way. Yeah. This is what we're talking about. And the trad cats are even the worst of all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, the trad cats, the traditionalists, the nominal Catholics that are a little charismatic, they read the Bible. So there's a little more hope for them. The trad cats, they don't even read the Bible. They hate the name of Jesus mentioned in it. But anyway, now, his father is also, a big physicist?
Yeah.
Yeah, a big scientist, physicist and all that. And he believes in heliocentrism. And Alex was talking to him about it, and he said, and Einstein was a kook, basically. Yeah. He was a thief. He was a thief, and his science was crap, okay? His theory of relativity is bullshit. That's the best way to say it, right?
Yeah,
you know, come as Richard, studying this for 20 years now, what's your conclusion on Einstein? His theory of relativity is bullshit. End of discussion. Look at the lecture. And we have something for you to look at.
Yeah.
Journey to the Center of the Universe by Robert Sagenis. This is a masterpiece that he did.
For example, did you know that the newest cosmological evidence puts the Earth at or near the center of the universe, and this is admitted by many popular scientists? Did you know that experimental evidence from over 100 years ago to the present day shows the Earth is motionless in space? Did you know that Einstein's special theory of relativity was invented to counter the many experiments in the 1800s and 1900s that showed the Earth was standing still in space? Did you know that Einstein's general theory of relativity was invented to cover the weakness of the special theory, but in doing so, the general theory allowed the Earth to be motionless in space and the center of the universe? Did you know that in addition to Einstein's general theory of relativity, other theories of physics, such as Newton's laws of motion and Mach's principle, say that a universe rotating around a fixed Earth is as scientifically valid as a rotating Earth in a fixed universe? Did you know that every scientific proof for an Earth revolving around the Sun and rotating on an axis has been discredited, and there has never been an experiment that has provided proof that the Earth is moving? Did you know that the most recent data from satellite probes sent up in the 1990s and 2000s show that the known universe is aligned with both the Sun-Earth ecliptic and the Earth's equator, revealing that our universe is geocentrically oriented, with Earth at the center? Did you know that the most recent data from telescopes shows that galaxies and many other celestial objects, such as quasars and gamma ray bursters, are oriented around the Earth in concentric spheres? As you can see, in sharp contrast to Carl Sagan's perspective that the Earth is lost in space, the scientific evidence shows we are indeed very special, since it appears we're placed at the very hub of the universe, motionless and serene, watched and cared for by someone who apparently did not leave things to time and chance. For the next hour or so, sit back and watch as we provide shocking scientific evidence from the best scientific minds and the best experiments to confirm these astounding truths.
Guaranteed to give him a lot of graces to convert, but it ain't working so far. It's a shame, because he's a smart guy. He did a really good job on this, like Mail with the Passion of Christ. But really smart people, it proves that he's not dumb, right? If he's not dumb, he knows what we're saying is true. Yeah. Why does he not accept the full truth like we do? Because he's a coward. Yeah. He doesn't want to lose his position of authority. He doesn't want to lose his friends. This is it with people. Most reason people go to hell is they love family members, they love their jobs, they love the society of men more than God. They love the glory of men more than the glory of God. I just quoted that today on the site. But anyway, he did a really great job on it. I mean, it's called Journey to the Center of the Universe. And you want it's science. I love science. That's why I like that too. You may not understand everything, but you'll understand a lot of it. And you'll see how he tears apart Einstein. And these are all, because what he said to Alex is, "Oh, I don't want just some religious person to. I want a scientist." Well, here you are. Right. You got your scientists, and you're looking at all. It's sort of like the same thing he did, what we did with the faith. So people are saying, Richard, where are you talking about all these dogmas that are being denied and we're in a great apostasy and you got all these crimes? Well, I did the research. Take a look what the church fathers teach. Take a look what the true popes teach for the first 1,000 years. And I throw this evidence in your face, which has been hidden from us. And somebody said today, it's true, I think it was Augustine or something like that, Brother Augustine. They only quote the modern people. They don't go back to the first 1,000 years. It's the modern anti-saints and the anti-popes. And the scholastic, they're quoting these people. So we go back and show you what the first 1,000 years teaches, and they contradict them, and we got hordes of evidence that's been hidden, and they go, whoa, we've been lied to. These guys are all liars. Same thing with the scientists. You've got these Jew bastards, especially the Jews, apostate Jews and Freemasons, they steal because they really can't do anything good on their own. They're smart, though. Don't get me wrong. They're intelligent on doing evil. Yep. They have like a Rain Man type of a brain. They're kind of smart, but they steal. They do it with music. They do it with science. And these scientists incorporated a whole false science. And this guy goes back and picks out the true scientists, the people that were opposing them at the time, and showing, Einstein's a wacko. You got people exposing this guy, and we've never read about this. It's like the, what was the one example? Like Aquinas.
Yeah.
Thomas Aquinas. Everybody thinks this guy was the hero from day one. Everybody loved him. This is what we're taught. He's one of the guys that's on the pedestal. 1300, when he was canonized by the apostate Pope John the 22nd, everybody, hands off, you can't talk about the guy. And so we think he's the greatest, the guy that ever existed. You do, when I'm doing my research, first of all, I'm pulling out all the heresies he holds from the first 1,000 years of the church, condemn him from the church fathers and popes. Then you had people in his own lifetime condemning him. I forget a couple of the guys now.
When he was going to canonization.
Yeah. In his own lifetime, when he was alive, people were railing against him. Oh, yeah. This guy's a heretic. He's a monster. He's horrible.
See my book, The Hellenization of Christianity by the Anti-Church Fathers and Scholastics, Thomas Aquinas. He was condemned by some of his peers.
I mean, the one guy, I'll get his name for you, you got to read my book on it. He picked out 187 errors, out of which there was at least 60 or 80 heresies. In the day that he was living, did you ever read about this?
Here's a quote from that section, from a book titled The Literary Reception of Thomas Aquinas' Views on the Probability of the Eternity of the World in Lamar's Correctionem and the Correctoria Corruptorii, and this was by M.J.F.M. Honan, 1986. In 1278 or 1279, some years after the death of Thomas Aquinas, the Franciscan theologian William de Lamar composed a work that was to elicit vehement reaction from Dominican theology, and not without reason, as Mar sharply opposed the views of Thomas, itemizing no less than 118 points of criticism. 1277, the work was soon referred to as the Correctorium Fratres Thomae, under which name it has survived to our days. Marr's book met with considerable success, being the official response to the views of Thomas. More often he speaks of his opinions being false, but apart from the thesis dubbed false, many are described as being erroneous or as giving rise to errors, which is meant by, what is meant by errors? According to Marr, errors are these theses or positions that are not just false, but that are more specially opposed to the faith, to Holy Scriptures, or to tradition, for example, the opinions of the saints. Thomas's work is said to contain not only views that are merely false, but also views that are contrary to the faith. Furthermore, his work is said to contain theses that are contrary to the Holy Scriptures, to the Gospels of St. Paul, and to Augustine. Sometimes, even Marr says, Thomas allegedly cites sentences, a sentence of St. Augustine, but the quotation cannot be found there, or he falsely cites the authority of one of the fathers in support of his own position. And sometimes Thomas runs counter to common opinion. Sometimes he contradicts himself. Sometimes he starts from incorrect assumptions. Sometimes his reasonings do not hold, or his conclusions do not follow. Again, sometimes Aristotle is quoted on issues he should not have been quoted on, end quote.
And there was others. It wasn't just him. Even when he went for canonization, right. There were people opposing him. This guy's a monster. This guy's a heretic. Okay? And so it's not just, I'm proving it, not just by what they're saying, but I went back and pulled out several of Aquinas' horrible heresies and condemned them by quoting the first 1,000 years of the church and infallible papal decrees, unanimous consensus of church fathers. And you're going, wow! So Aquinas is the Einstein of theology. He's a thief and a liar and a bastard. And so when you look at this journey to the center of the universe, you're going to see the same thing happened here. They got their anti-scientists, took on evolution and on heliocentrism. They put them in the books. They put them in all the educational systems. They put them on all the major media. They pump them up and they all... you know, commend one another, and they're all a bunch of rotten-ass, dirty liars. Yeah. And I'll compare it simply to this. Anybody who has a little common sense and are not really corrupted like these apostate Jews and Freemasons, these Satanist pigs that love ugliness, take a look at true art and take a look at modern art that they call art. It's just a blob of nothing. It's disgusting, and it sells for $14 million. Mm-hmm. And people go for this stuff. That's what we're looking at. It's a perverse world. It's a satanic, dark, evil world. You're looking at this Einstein science. It's ugly to a true scientist. But they pump them up, put them on a pedestal, hide the true art, hide the true scientists, hide the true theologians, the church fathers, and present us with these modern scholastics and these anti-saints. And when you look at what they're teaching, it's perverse. You look at what they've done to the cathedrals even. You can look at it in the desecration of Catholic places. Once you start desecrating a place like that in public with idols and false gods and immorality, you're at the end of the road, buddy boy. When you start, you know, it's like a homo who's ashamed of what he's doing, and he knows he's wrong. He's not even so much a homo in himself. He doesn't want to be that way. You see, then you got the homo that brags about it. He comes out and says, I love it. This is normal. God made me this way. Whoa! That guy is a whole other creature. You know, the other guy knows he's wrong. He can overcome it. The other guy... And what I'm saying is, once you put the idols on the wall, once you go out in public and say, hey, Jupiter, Venus, Apollo, naked Venus, in all the churches and holy places, it's all over, man. It's all over. You already have to be corrupted in the faith like there's no tomorrow. That outward sign God gave, and he says, because you would not condemn those idols in my church, I will let you go into the operation of error and start believing all one heresy after another. And the ultimate end of all these heresies is to get people to be able to believe what they want, do what they want without any consequences, because they're rebellious. But the Jew, when he came in, the apostate Jews and the Freemasons under him, and we're talking about this in regards to music. We were watching something on music last week, and even you look at these Jews, when they came along, they ruined classical music. They ruined it. I mean, when they do their own stuff. Now, they'll even copy some of the great classical stuff, like Zubin Mehta, and he's a Jew, and he's got another guy, I can't forget his name. These are the greatest violins. No, they're not. Go to Europe even now. You got guys that are tremendous. They'll blow them out of the water. The reason you think these guys are great, because it's the only guys they're putting out in the multimedia.
Yeah.
You don't see these other guys. When we were watching that guy, Artesio, Antonio Artesio, play a piano in the Vivaldi thing, whoa! I mean, not only you get the heart in it, then you look at these other Jew guys that are playing the pianos, and it sounds kind of okay, but it's kind of mechanical. Nothing compared. So when I was looking at that, these musicians in Italy and over in Europe, I went, these guys are unbelievable. I mean, how come I never heard about these guys? All we hear about is the apostate Jewish Freemasonic media that pumps up their own people. They say the Jews are copiers. They're imitators. They're like the devil. The devil's an ape. He copies God. He tries to be God. And anything he has of himself is all evil. Anything that appears to be good, he steals from other people. And it's even at that, what he steals is not as good. And I'm saying, so you can take the Jew guy playing the piano, a Mozart thing that's really nice, and this guy Antonio, put him side by side, Antonio blows him out of the water. Even on that. That's besides the fact that they get jazz is good. You even have some good rap music. I don't think, yeah, bad, a lot of bad too, but you got good. There's good rap music. There's good jazz. There's bad jazz. There's good classical. There's bad classical. The Jew ruins everything he touches. Mm-hmm. And I love jazz music too. I used to go to all the jazz concerts. I knew all the guys in New York when I used to go to New Jersey. I used to go to all the jazz concerts. But the bad ones are like, make no sense. You know, it's like, you can't catch your ear on anything. It's discordant. It's confusing. Just like scholasticism, see? They got their own theology. Read the Summa. Go ahead. Read a couple, a scholastic babble. That's like music that's corrupted.
I'll give you one example from my Hellenization book on Aquinas' Scholastic Babel. This is from the Summa, Part 1, Part 2, Question 48, Article 1. And here's what he says regarding his eternal world heresy. He believed the heresy that it was possible for God to make a world that was eternal unless always existed, and that was heretical. But here's his quote on his reply to Objection 1. Before the world existed, it was possible for the world to be, not indeed according to a passive power, which is matter, but according to an active power of God, and also according to as a thing is called absolutely possible, not in relation to any power, but from the sole habitude of the terms which are not repugnant to each other, and which sense possible as opposed to impossible, as appears from the philosopher Aristotle.
I was just done reading like Aquinas' thing on the essence here, and it's like, why? What is he talking about?
I couldn't get through the first chapter of his.
And then you go, this guy's so smart, he's way above me.
Like JP2.
They said that about John Paul, too.
Yeah.
John Paul II, so smart, none of us could understand. Yeah, and that's what he wanted to do. They love doing that. They play games. They play. And Brother Augustine made a good point today online, too. Really good point. The top Jews that are running the world and the Freemasons that are running, they don't like philosophy because it's stupid. And it's not practical. It's dumb. They're practical. I mean, they're into the practicality of running. The devil throws that out there to make you confused. Like the Freemasons, too, the lower-level Masons, they got all this crap to read in, the mysteries and the levels and the thing, and they're floating with all this crap. Right at the top, they say, forget everything you just learned. Now we're going to get into reality. That's what they tell you. You know what's amazing? College is Freemasonic instruction. When you go to college, you're being instructed by Freemasons. And you're coming out of there, even though you're not an explicit Freemason, you believe like they do. Because that's what they teach you in college. You take all this philosophy, all this history, according to their way of thinking. And then, guess what? When you come out of college, you're an idiot. So when you go and get a job, they have to reteach you all over. They say, forget everything you learned in college. See, that's why I like science. Because when I went to science, it was like 2 plus 2 equals 4. You know, organic chemistry and calculus. I was an A-plus student in all the sciences. I love science. Because it was, you know, it was no bullshit, you know? So maybe at night you can come out and get a job. But then again, even now in science, they pervert some things. But most of your kids come out of college are idiots. Yeah. Absolutely brainwashed idiots. So you go, you mean to tell me we've been taught all these years, we got all these books about the Holocaust. Look, we got all these books on the Holocaust. Joe's quoting Jerry, Jerry's quoting John, Sid's quoting Barry, Barry's quoting Andrew, and they all start quoting one another, professors, APP, PPHD, and they're going back and all that. But that guy in the 30 anonymous part, he tear them apart. He see the Holocaust conspiracy menu and go down to the title, which is right here, One-Third of the Holocaust. And this is not his real name. It's really anonymous, but this is an excellent piece on exposing all the lies over the years that have been told in books in the educational system and absolutely proves them to be total lies. You can do it, really. Like I did. I did that with scholasticism. You look, it's worked. Okay. So what he did with the Holocaust, I did with our Holy Catholic faith. I went in and dug out the first 1,000 years, and when I looked at it, I went, And you know, I'm going to tell you something anyway. You know, when you just read the Bible alone, that could condemn 90% of what they're teaching. And that motivates you to say, I don't care what Aquinas said here.
Yeah.
And once we're able to get canonizations are infallible, we understood that popes can lose their office, it opens you up to see this stuff. Because I don't care what this pope said, so-called pope said here. The Bible seems to really contradict him in 10 places. Let me go back and see what the pope said before him. Let me go back and look what they said from the time of St. Peter to the year 1000. Let's just go to the year 1000. Because if they're teaching this, and he's teaching the opposite, I'm sorry, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. They come first, you come later. That's what the Protestants did. They started their own church at some point in time afterwards. All right? So the great apostasy with the scholastics started, began 11th century, and really started cooking up in the 13th and 14th centuries, really getting big. So that's when it started. And I go back and show you the first 1,000 years, how they perverted it. They twisted it. All this started because Alex Fowler asked him how he was doing.
Yeah, that's good. It'd be good to send him this sermon.
Yeah, maybe. Why not? Yeah.
You know, you just made me think of something that I never thought of before. Protestants could have been just like us. They could have went back and scolded the church for not being Catholic and said, this is the real Catholic church right here. Mm-hmm. But instead, they threw the baby out.
Excellent point. You owe me at home $10, Bruce. Really good point. Right. Exactly. Because here's my point. Yes, we know they were scandalized, and they didn't. What they should have done is what we did, okay? Don't drop the baby with the bathwater. Okay, so things are bad. Yeah. Go back and study what the church taught for the first 1,000 years. Don't leave the church, the Catholic church. Don't start a new church. Condemn these bastards and say, you're not Catholic, I am. Now, guaranteed, there were people that did that back then. We don't know who they are. God knows who they are. They're in heaven as saints. We don't know. I call these the forgotten saints. I want to get into the archives. Not for the reason other people do. I got my own reasons I want to get into the Vatican archives. I want to read all those letters that people wrote that were like us living then, that held what we held.
Yeah.
And I know some of them are right. I know some of them. They killed them. They'll kill you or exile you. Or put you in exile because they don't want you to be continued perfect. Look what they did to Savonarola. Even though he wasn't 100%, he was bad too. But what he was right on, they killed him because of what he was right on. Because he didn't just condemn the fornications and all those sins that the anti-popes, the popes, so-called popes and bishops are committing. He named names. And he called the Borgia guy a fornicator, an anti-pope. He said, you don't have the office, and they killed him. They killed him. Because of that. Now, he was bad on the scholastic thing, so he's damned too, unless he repented on his deathbed. But there was others that had the full faith, and you don't even hear about them. They're gone. And I guarantee they were writing letters like we were, and are hidden in the Vatican, because they're exposing the antipopes. But that's what the Protestants should have done. You know, I'm Catholic, you're not. I'm sorry, pal. You know, I'm out of here. I'm not going to listen to you. I mean, that's what they should have done. They went too far. They started their own church. And that's bad, too, because really, then they become liars. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? You I don't know. Maybe some of them, because they were so confused at the times, God could have mercy. I think God might have mercy on more some of the people that left, like Protestants, instead of staying, because they were confused a little bit. And they knew things were wrong. I think there's more chance for them to convert on their deathbed, God to give them a deathbed conversion, than the nominal Catholic who stays in that crap. He stays in the mess. And he keeps, Holy Father, Holy. And he starts embracing all their crap, all their heresy. He looks at the desecrations. I mean, think about the people that, once the churches became majorly desecrated. I mean, these people are going in and out, these so-called saints even, they're going in and out of these churches, they're looking at this stuff and don't even bother them. Doesn't even bother them. If they just read their Bible every day with a true heart, what's the first commandment? I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before thee. Idols? Right? Right? Isn't that the first? And that's because of that sin, our Lord says, all other sins flow from that. That's the other verse, remember? It says, the beginning of fornication is the devising of idols, and the invention of them is the corruption of all life. Because the invention of idols is the beginning, the cause, and the end of all evils. So, sins against the faith, which is idolatry also, leads to all other sins, immoralities. That's why they got all these problems they can't overcome. I think it was Josh or someone else said online today, as we say, the reason that Europe is being punished is because if we kept the Catholic faith, the Jews and Freemasons got no power on us. You understand? They can do what they will. They've got no power on us if we have the Catholic faith because God is with us. And if God is with us, no matter what they do, they cannot take down a Catholic country if it stays faithful. And what are you guys thinking? I'm going to mention as an example from the Old Testament. You guys might be thinking. I use the example a lot, though. During the Old Testament. So like the Jews are looking at us now, even us. And they're going, I want to get them Catholics real bad. But we can't. We've been throwing curses on them. We've been we got Sal to get, you know, we mess up Sal, we're messing with him, we're messing with him. What can we do to get these guys?
Make them
sin.
That's sin, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Balaam. The false prophet Balaam. when you're trying to curse the Jews. And he says, how am I going to get these Jews so we can beat them up? He says, as long as their God is with them, you ain't going to touch them. Ain't nothing you're going to do. So what do I got to do? You got to make them fall away. You got to make them sin. You got to make them sin against the faith, ultimately, and sin against morals. Either way, you get them into mortal sin. The bulk of them, you got them. You got them because God's going to leave them and not protect them anymore. And so that's what's going to happen. And that's what's happening all over Europe. You know, I'm surprised. Oh, look at all these world wars we had and all the stuff that's going on in Europe. The one time Catholic Europe is going to get scourged, punished, destroyed, decimated. And he's going to let the Antichrist do it. The Antichrist and his uncle, too. I wonder who his uncle is going to be. You know? Auntie and uncle? I don't know. Uncle. The uncle is Netanyahu, the Antichrist is Yanuka. What is it? What do we call it? Moshiach ben David?
That's the spiritual one.
Yeah, David is the spiritual one. And Moshiach ben Joseph.
That's the
Netanyahu. Netanyahu is looking more and more like the Antichrist. One of them, at least. If they have the two Antichrists, he looks like you know, the one who's a warrior and the one who's the religious guy. He's looking more and more like it, but we'll see. So anyway, the way they perverted theology is the way they pervert. Devil is a corrupter. He's ugly. He stinks, literally. He stinks worse than anything that stinks in the whole world. He's more ugly than ugly anybody can. He's the definition of ugly. He's the root of ugly. He's where all ugliness comes from, all stinkiness, all corruption, all confusion, all chaos. It just comes out of this guy's guts. And the closer the people serve him, the more that's the way, what they are. You see it now in modern art. You see it in TV. You see it in scholasticism. You see it in the perversion of science. Yeah. And you're right. This Einstein guy's kind of weird, isn't it? It's like we talk about the stink weechies all over the place. You know, they idolize their heroes. And it's like blasphemy, heresy to talk against Einstein. You know, you're out of the sight. If your father ever embraces the truth, that's the end of him. What's he a teacher?
Physics. But it's funny because they're just saying that when I showed him the article back then of the Syngenis documentary. There's this but a paper, and it was called Galileo Was Wrong.
Yeah.
And you can't read that.
You're not allowed to read that. Put it down. Put it down, Alex. It's going to infect you. You know, think about this. You got the truth that he's getting crazy. He's got the lie, and he's saying, pick it up and read it. Wait a second. I should be reading your crap. It's the other way around. Like when somebody gives you Einstein's theory of relativity. No, put it down. No, read it. You're going to mess your head up. Oh, I got the Summa from Thomas. I'm going to start reading it. No, put it down. You should be putting that down. They got the truth being put down. Because what are you worried about? You know? We have several people that... one guy that knew that geocentrism was correct and evolution was a heresy, and he's a real big physicist, MIT. I won't give his name here, but his big problem was, I told him that you can still be a physicist, but... And you got to get up, though, when they start teaching something like that and tell them they're wrong. You can't, if you're taking a test, then you got to defend That you say, I can't answer that question because you're wrong. And try to show him where he's wrong. He wants to keep his job. He was destined for high. I heard he's working here somewhere in New Mexico, in Los Alamos. I don't know. But anyway, that's one thing. There was another thing, his parents, too. He loved his parents more than God, but he didn't want to lose his scientific, his career in physics. And he's a smart kid. I says, you know, I told him then, I says, you know, you're smart. You can expose Einstein. Because he knew Einstein was wrong. I says, you can expose this thing. And he didn't do it. And then Jenis came along and did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God will choose someone else. You don't want to do it?
Yeah, right.
Someone else will do it. I still say Jenis gets a lot of credit for that. But it's amazing how a guy can be so good on that and so bad on other things. Yeah. And like we were talking about that, it proves he's not stupid.
No.
And that's what I said before. It has to do with being a coward and ambitious and famous. And you're not just going to lose your job and your fame and your money. That's big. Your family member is going to call you a kook. A lot of your family members and your friends that you have are not going to like you anymore. They're not going to like you. They may even hate you. Ooh, they might hate you. I lose sleep overnight because my family hates me. Are you kidding me? If I wasn't... We know we have to love all men, but I abhor my family members. I don't care what they think about it. It doesn't matter, all right? You got to remove yourself from human respect, but it's very difficult when you're on the top of that ladder. You got a lot of kids. You've sent them to college. You got two homes. You're going on your vacations. You got a nice job. You got all these friends, and you're going to lose them. And God will still take care of you, though. You may not have as much as you had before, but then you're going to realize how much do you really need. But He gives me and He gives us everything we need. I get my food. I get my wine every night. With nice one cigar, I smoke my cigar, I have my wine, I got good food, but, you know?
Exactly. Taking care of
it. I sleep in a bed with a pillow.
Best in the world.
These guys, people are going to hear us, don't know what we're talking about. I'll just give you guys a hint, I'm not going to tell you what it was. But some anti-saint came out and said that Jesus was so poor from the day of his birth, that he didn't even have a stone to lay his head on. A stone to lay his head on. Well, his parents were vicious. Joseph and Mary were either dirt poor, but it don't cost much to get a stone anyway. We got stones all over the place. It doesn't even cost much. I mean, this goes beyond comprehension. So he laid on a bare floor with nothing under his head, and he rested his head on the ground.
Who would want a stone for a pillow anyway?
That's exactly. The whole thing's beyond dumb. And who, well... I'm working you guys little quizzes. So I'm not going to tell you what it was. But what verse are you thinking of? I know they say this because I've heard this before. There's one verse that refutes it. That's right in the Bible.
He'd lay it on a pillow in a boat.
When he was in the boat, Sister Laura God, I know you guys knew it. He was, when the storm was raging, and Jesus was on the boat with his head laying on a pillow. Ooh, he's on a pillow. When you say Jesus was dirt poor for, the same person said that they begged for alms. Now this is an attack against Saint Joseph, that he's incompetent. He didn't provide for his family. Secondly, they didn't even care about their own son. Either they didn't sleep on any pillows neither, or they did, but they didn't let Jesus sleep on one. I mean, the thing's insanity. It's like a blasphemy and a sacrilege against the Holy Family. They were not poor their whole life. They were poor, but not dirt poor. They were not. What's the word I use? Desolate. There's a better word. They weren't. It was just they had what they needed.
Frugal.
Not frugal, but it was another word they used. You know.
Destitute.
But they didn't beg for alms. They didn't have to. Joseph was a carpenter. Took care of his family very well. They had good things. They weren't rich, maybe living in a rich house, but. Anyway, so that's another thing where you got a whole twist on that. I forget what led me into that, but it's a great blasphemy. The Stoics believe that. You understand? The Stoics. Oh, and when they say Mary suffered her whole life, and the Holy Family, Jesus, suffered his whole life. Mary must have been a bad cook. Now you're attacking Mary's cooking. You know what I mean? Now you're getting angry. angry. Yeah, imagine God! I mean, her food must have been really bad. I mean, it suffered. I mean, he suffered when he ate her food. It wasn't even like neutral. You know, like some food is like matzo bread, where it's like no unleavened bread or something. It's like bland, but you can eat it. This is like, it's got crap in it. Like, it's like, oh! I'm suffering every time. I got to eat because I got to live, but this stinks. You know, that's, you know, see, it's an attack. They say Christ was a carpenter, like his father. Right. And he was. He worked with his father, and he was a carpenter. So, and they'll have you believe that the wine at the Miracle of Canaan was a crappy wine. It was the worst wine. It was like wine you don't even want to drink, more like vinegar. But you guys know the Bible, don't you? You guys read the Bible?
Oh, yeah.
What does it say about the Miracle of Canaan? He saved the best wine for last, and it was the best wine they ever tasted. That condemns the Stoics all over the place.
It had very little alcohol level.
Well, that's what you tell you. Yeah, the Protestants. Yeah, they don't believe it was alcohol.
I know.
It was grape juice. That's another thing.
Yeah.
You got goofballs all over the place. A bunch of goofballs. They used to have these little drugs in there. You call them goofballs, you know, you take them. It was like, I forget the name for the drug, but you take it and you're like, oh, no. Like this, man, they call them goofballs. That's where the word came from. Goofballs.
In Ecclesiasticus, I was reading this morning, they're telling you not to get drunk. If wine's not so weak that you can't get drunk, why are you going to get drunk all the time?
Wine was created to make men joyful, not to make them drunk.
Yeah.
I'm reading from Ecclesiasticus chapter 31, verse 35. Wine was created from the beginning to make men joyful and not to make them drunk.
So we got all these, but you know, it's when and Satan, you know, we know he controls the world. And most time, God's chosen people are only very few. And most of his chosen people are bad. So the world is run by the devil. He controls the world more than he's ever controlled it in the history of fallen mankind. Multimedia, educational system, jobs. The higher you want to go up, you're going to have to play ball. That's why now they control almost major, and if you buck against them, they're going to take you down. You see it happen with companies. Just a little example, and they create a problem with the company to take it down if it's not towing the line of the Judeo-Masonic line. Apostate Jews and Freemasons really basically control the world. Jews are on the top, and the Freemasons work for them. Those are the two major forces in the world. And if you don't work for them, they take you down. If they see that you're starting to go off beam, even if you're powerful. I'll just give you a little example. This thing that happened, they do it a lot. Like they did Boeing, a window blew out on one of their planes. And it was somebody messed up. True, they investigated it and they said, you know, they're looking at it. So this happened, let's say, about 3 months ago. And they found out what it was and now they have to check all the planes. But then all of a sudden, it was quiet for about 3 weeks and it came out again. Big time now. Now we're reinvestigating Boeing again. I thought you already did. I thought they already resolved it. Now they're going really hard on Boeing. And I said, this is weird. It's just, and then all of a sudden, within 2-3 weeks of every night on the news, the guy resigned. That was the head of Boeing. That's what the Jews wanted. They created that mess. They very well could have created that thing to weaken so it blows out. And they do it with talcum powder. Johnson & Johnson with talcum powder. They had some stupid thing about it. Put a panic on the people, nobody buys your product anymore. So they say you want to go against us, we're gonna give your product a bad name and your company a bad name, and we're gonna create an incident that's gonna take you down. They do this all the time. They do with wars. They go in and with the 9/11. Who did the United States did that and blamed it on the Arabs so we can go to war over and we did it. The Jews and Masons did it and blamed it on someone else. This is the epitome of evil. I mean, it's just, they know no shame. When you got to come to power like that, you are so filthy. You know, only filthy, dirty, rotten, stinking, dirty liars are going to want to follow the Antichrist. And guess what? The whole world is almost full of all of them. And, you know, we're talking about this guy's agenda. You go, is he dirty, rotten, stinking, liar? Yes, he is. Why? Because he's a coward. Because he doesn't want to lose his family, his money, his home, his fame. And because of that, you become a dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking, dirty, bastard liar.
Yeah.
Because you have to. And then you want to convince you. This is the word they always tell you. I don't know if these guys told you, but this is one good thing. My mother used to say, one good thing out of a thousand bad things, one good thing. If you lie enough, you begin to believe your lie.
Yeah.
If you lie enough, pathological liar, you begin to believe your lie. That's what happens to these people. So because now you were defending these apostate Jews because of the Second Vatican Council said, they're God's chosen people. They're under the old covenant. You know what's wrong in the beginning, but you don't want to say because you don't want to lose your job. Then people are attacking you. How you're don't tell me you don't. This is crazy. What kind of, you're a coward. Then you say no. Then you say I'm not a coward. I'm not. I really believe it. Then you say if I really believe it, I'm not a coward.
Yeah.
I'm not a coward. It's not because I'm a coward. It's not because I want to lose my job. It's because I really believe. Now you really believe it. You embrace it because you can't live with that cowardness in your heart. So you really embrace it, you really believe it's true, but guess what? There's still a law in your heart deep inside that's chewing out on you, all on. But that's what happens. It's Timothy says, these people's conscience are seared, and a final day shall come, dangerous times. Men's consciences will be seared.
I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Now the Spirit manifestly saith that in the last time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to spirits of error and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared.
The law upon their heart is seared over. And they bury it. And they justify it and say, then they start going full force believing it's the truth. Some of these Holocaust people don't get a Holocaust. It's like an illusion, you know? They actually believe it.
I know.
You know? They believe it. And they get hysterical over it. You know? What a curse, you know?
Yeah.
And the devil probably gives them these illusions, you know, these visions, you know, these memories that never happened.
Brother Richard.
Wow.
We were watching Tucker the other day, and Stephen Kirsch was talking to Tucker about all this data on the COVID pandemic and how many people died over the whole world, like 17 million. And he got asked, well, did you have to suffer any loss of your job or friends? And oh yeah, I had 100 friends that wouldn't talk to me. I called them up and they said, I don't want to talk to you, you're an evil man, don't call me again. And he says, well, you don't even want to know what I discovered. No, you're evil, I don't want to talk to you. So he said, yeah, I lost 100 friends, but you know what, I have more friends now than I had before, and they're better friends, you know. They see me down.
Well, usually you don't have more friends. I don't know where he's getting that from, but well, maybe. The people are going against COVID. He's got a different group of friends.
Yeah. Everybody wants to do a selfie with me when I go.
Well, at least usually when you tell the full truth like we do.
Yeah.
You go from 100 to like 10, all right? Yeah. Bang!
Yeah.
And the question is, what do I care if you're my friend? Would you be my friend? Isn't it that faggot? What's that guy? Mr. Rogers?
Yeah,
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, would you be my neighbor?
Oh, my. What a pedophilic faggot. I love to torture his ass on TV when all the kids are watching. And they see, the kids go the opposite. They get to Mr. Rogers, and then you get the other kids. He becomes a maniac, you know, who starts killing people for no reason. But here's Mr. Rogers. Would you be my friend?
Yeah.
If that guy ever walked down one block where I grew up, he's dead before he gets the end of the block. There's no more Mr. Rogers on TV anymore. What happened? He was walking through Newark in the North Ward, and he fell down this one street. A bunch of kids mugged his ass. They beat him so bad, he's dead. He's dead. You have to go get another Mr. Rogers somewhere. There's a lot of them out there. My friend. Everybody's... That's... Nathaniel Krapner.
Mm-hmm.
Nathaniel Krapner.
Exactly.
They told Nathaniel Krapner, why did you, because he's an Orthodox, an unorthodox schismatic from the Russian church.
Right.
He's talking to Nick Fuentes, who's a nominal Catholic from the Vatican II church. And they're talking, they're best buddies, and they're saying to Krapner, hey, how come you didn't like condemn Nick, you know, because according to you, the Roman Catholic church is like a whore and it's false. And he goes, he's my friend. He's my friend. He said that twice about someone else, too.
Adam Green.
He said, because he's my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, because he's your friend. Oh, so salvation comes through being a friend of Nathaniel Krapner. If you're his friend, you're saved.
Yeah.
As long as you have a friend, you're saved. If you have no friends, you're not saved. The more friends you have, the more saved you are.
Yeah.
Where is the love for the truth in your own self? Here's my thing I'm talking about. Self-respect inside yourself. You understand?
I know.
Your own self. God hates a hypocrite and a liar. Now, some people are not hypocrites and are wrong, but they're not hypocrites. Other people are hypocrites and they're the worst kind of person. How can you live with yourself?
I'm reading from Job 13:16. For no hypocrite shall come before God's presence. And I'm reading from Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, verse 14. Woe to them that are of a double heart, and to the sinner that goeth on the earth two ways.
Yeah. What do you need friends? Look, when you have God with you, you can be all alone and you're completely happy. I was that way for many years when I had nobody.
Pick up that cardboard on the floor.
Until Brother Ron came around and helped me. But I had other people trying to help me, but then, you know what I mean? Every time they came around, bye-bye, friend!
The handlers.
They think, you know, but they don't know it, too. It's like they were walking on eggshells. They go, nobody's able to get to him. He doesn't care. He'll just leave. He doesn't care, you know?
Yeah.
And they accused me of being cruel. I had one kid. One of the guys died that helped me a lot. He helped me a lot. I don't tell you his name now, but he's in hell. You know, God showed me him in hell. You know, he's in hell. And he helped me a lot. Did a lot of good stuff. In New Jersey, this kid, this guy. But when I left, I came out here. I washed my hands clean with all of them. One of my friends out there said, hey, by the way, you know, so-and-so died. You know, I thought maybe you should know. And I didn't even answer him back, nothing. And he goes, you know, you should be a little more respectful to all the stuff he did for you. You know, he was your friend. I said, I don't give a right side friend or no friend. I don't, not a friend of mine. See, he was your friend.
Exactly.
He was your friend. What kind of a friend was he?
Exactly. Lead you away from God.
What kind of friend? And they accused me of being callous and cold. They said, you left all your friends in New Jersey. You don't talk to them anymore. Why should I?
Exactly.
In the end, they actually casted me out. Really. Uh-huh. When I was ready to do the loss of office thing,
nobody wanted to help me.
No one wanted to help me. No one wanted to even hold the camera for me. That's when I moved into a rooming house. A rooming house, the size of one room, no refrigerator, no stove. You had to share the bathroom, four guys on the first floor. And I was living in a rooming house, and I was, because the minute I was getting ready to do the evidence on Strange Voices is when the hammer came down. That's how I know there were somebody in that group. Was a working for the apostate Jews, was a spy, is what I'm saying. And their thing was, keep Richard quiet, let him talk all he wants around the table and around you guys, but if he starts to make another video to be public, the hammer comes down. And that's when the hammer came down.
Yeah.
So, you wonder why I'm not your friend? First of all, you don't want to be my friend, but it's nothing about you and me being wanting to be friends. It's about wanting to be Catholic. And the hypocrisy was we'd sit about and we'd talk about all this stuff at the table. And the other guy that was there, he's dead now and presumed in hell, but the other guy, I seen him in hell. But anyway, we would talk about this stuff all the time. And we won't go to no priest at this time. There's no priest. We're staying home alone. We don't know anybody. So when I was getting ready to do that video and they threw me, I was cast into the rooming house and no one would help me. And I was in a rooming house still hoping they would help me. Then the one man knocks on the door and he says, oh, Rich, he says, we were thinking, you know, like, can't you find any place to go, like a religious place? His name was Lou, his first name. I said, Lou, we've been talking for 1 year. There's no priests. There's nobody we know. And you're telling me where am I going to go? Tell me where I'm going to go, Lou. Yeah. Give me a couple names where I should go. All right? Well, isn't there somebody? We've been talking about this for 1 year. If there was somebody, I would be there. He says, oh, well, I don't want to do the thing at my house. I don't want to be filming it at my house. I don't want you to film.
If the metal, then they all fuck. It's like Potter.
Yeah. The minute I was ready to do the Strange Voices.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, find out the Jews. Like,
yeah. It never ran. Because they don't want, it's them too, they're working for the Jews.
Yeah.
Look, as long as I'm talking in New Jersey at the table with my 10, 20 friends privately, that's not hurting anybody.
Well, just like,
that's when you start becoming public.
Talk about the Jews with Potter and them in the back room.
Yeah, right. And exactly.
Then, but then when you start.
I go on the mic, it's over. It's over.
Yeah. That is when you
that's what happened.
Yeah.
And that's how you know, like, there was somebody in there that I have my suspicions on who they were, too. Top-level spies that were to keep me quiet. You know, just keep him quiet as long as he doesn't do anything, you know. I told him, the one friend that did help me was Hank Sinati. Yeah. The guy who's a Bronx homicide detective. He's the one that arrested the Son of Sam. He was on the Son of Sam case, and he told the people there that he's a detective, and they got rid of him because of that. But what happened was, they thought it was a single man thing, and he said, this is from Satan, this is a satanic thing. And then he told all the cops that were knocked out to get out of the room, and he always talked to the Catholic cops, detectives. Mm-hmm. He said, you believe in God? You believe in the devil? He said, this is satanic. This is from the devil. Mm-hmm. He says, "I it's not just him alone." And so he was looking at it from the, it was a satanic cult. And it went deep. It went even to, they say it's managers in the Mets, some of your top mayors and governor involved in the satanic cult, the Son of Sam thing. And so they fired him real quick. And then they were going after him, too. They really were going after him. He got a little bit too spooked, but he was always ready. He says, I'm always ready. He come in because I'm ready. He would always go like that. I'm ready. They come after me. They're going to... He would go, I'm going to get him. But he was full of... But he was a little too spooked, maybe. But anyway, he helped me. He gave me an old camera that I set up in the room, my little rooming house. It was like a really old kind of a camera, you know. So, but you had to... I had to click it on, I had to set it up, and I was trying to get the thing done. I couldn't do it alone. But he's the one that ended up driving me to the airport when I was coming out to meet Felix when I came back to New Mexico. And he drove me with his brother out to the airport. But all the rest of them abandoned me. Mm-hmm. Totally. Gone. And then you're saying, oh, Richard, how come you're not being nice to your friends?
Don't you think this COVID pandemic flushed out the whole world? Look at all the people that are lying, covering up, keeping their jobs, and people are dying.
It's not just COVID. It's 9/11. It's the Holocaust. Exactly. It's just one thing after another. Yeah, they all belong to the same type of thing. If they want to go along, if there's certain dogmas, you better believe it, you're done. Holocaust is number one.
Yeah. Definitely.
You better believe the Holocaust or you're dead.
Yeah.
Hitler's number two in the Nazis. All right, then comes 9/11. Not as bad, but heliocentrism. You got to believe in that. You can't believe in geocentrism in the scientific community. They'll knock your ass out if you believe in geocentrism or creationism. That you're done.
Yeah.
So you have to go along. And there was no one who said they were working on us. They're working in there. They work them in. It's stuff like if you say you're dead, you're gone, you're fired, you get no job.
Yeah.
Global warming.
Global warming, you can still oppose that on the right. So it's not that big. You can still be against global warming and still be prominent in the Republican Party. It's not the big thing. It's big, but not that big.
Jews killed Christ.
Christian Zionism. Yeah. Well, Christian Zionism, you can oppose that too on the left.
Yeah.
You can have some lefty Jews even that are not... But anyway, these guys, I mean, you wonder why? With friends like that, who needs enemies?
Yeah, right, exactly.
God comes first above all things.
Yep.
I'll knock out the whole world. I'll kill. I'm the kind of guy, if you give me in a military game, if I have an objective and that needs to be done, all my men are going to die. We got to get the, me too. I got to get the objective. I'll die getting it. That's the objective. We need it. If we don't get that, we lose. I'm going to do the objective. I don't think about, you can't be thinking about your own life and about your own comforts if it's the truth and it's something you stand up for. You got to go, man, like a bull. And that's what God likes. He hates a coward. Mm-hmm. All these people we're talking about there are cowards. Yeah. They lose one job, they start getting crazy. Or they get, we're going to fire you unless you do this, you do that. I mean, we'll talk about Sal. Look what happened to Sal. Right, you know, actually why Sal? They terminated him from his job. Yeah. Guaranteed. Yeah. 100%. He took Holy Week off 4 days in a row. I thought about it. I wasn't saying it, but I said, they're not going to like his, first of all, the company he's working for, a lot of these companies, they work you like to death, and they don't want you to take off. They'll tell you you could take off, but they know it. If you take off too much, they watch it, and they'll get rid of you, okay? Now, he doesn't even take off that much. Now, generally, maybe you'll get a day or two off every 7 or 10 days. You know, he didn't have no holiday in a year and a half, all right? No, like, any time in a row. He asked him, can I have off for this Holy Week? You're talking a year and a half now. Now, usually when you work for jobs, you get a week or 2 week vacation every year, which still stinks, okay? I don't want to get into that now. But he happens to want to give up for the Holy Week. They didn't give him the good 6 weeks. They didn't give him everything he wanted. So they gave him 4 days. All right? So what they're calculating when that truck is sitting here for 4 days is chick, chick, bing, chick, chick, bing, chick, chick, bing. We're losing money. This sells. That's it. We're going to get another guy in here who's going to work 24-7, Bubba. 24-7, Bubba. Even if he's got to do methamphetamine to stay awake. So he can drive all over the place and ruin his health. That's the kind of job he was working with, believe me. So they came out and made some stupid excuse to get rid of him. Something that they told him he could do, that he did do, and told me he shouldn't have done it. It's a long story. But they came with an excuse to get rid of him, and it's no coincidence it happened right when he was here for 4 days. And it may not be for religious reasons from their perspective. It's money. It's simple capitalism. And we'll get another guy who's gonna work. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. A year and a half. He never had 4 days in a row, even in a year and a half on the job. Right, Sal?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the worst, they could have gave me a warning. That's why I kept telling the guy. Yeah. You know, if they really cared about the, you know, putting their company in danger for, like, as a liability issue, I was like, well, since my track record doesn't show any of this sort of, you know, constant, yeah, you know,
violations.
Violations. Yeah. You know, can I at least get a warning? He was like, no, I have to terminate you.
Yeah.
And he was, and the only other person I could have talked to was the owner. Mm-hmm. He was like, well, you know, you can talk to the owner if you want, because I was like, man, this isn't right. Can I talk to somebody, you know, about this? You know, I want to talk more about it. He was like, yeah, well, you can talk to the owner, but he's in the meeting right now.
Yeah. It's God's will.
Yeah,
we were saying this. I've been hoping him to get a job around here from day one.
Yeah.
So, and I told Sal, here's the temptation. He makes a lot of money on that job. And so the money is a lure. And, you know, so you look at it and you go, are you going to work yourself to death because of money? Yeah. Are you going to work yourself to death because of money? And also taking away from time with the brothers, with being here with us. Mm-hmm. He was here for studying and doing other things, you know. Like, civil capitalism is slavery. They're slaves. You know, in the United States, if you get a job, first year you don't get no vacation. Second year, 1 week. Third year, 2 weeks. Oh, whoopee-dee, 1 week out of a year. That's not slavery. You know, under a Catholic community, when you have farming and ranching, you would work hard a couple months in a row to plant seeds, then you'd have the whole winter off. 2-3 months, you'd take it easy. You had time off, leisure time, to be with your family, to pray, to study, to learn. This is sinful capitalism turns everybody into a stinking slave. I know how they work. I know how the apostate Jew thinks. And a Freemason, he'll suck the blood out of you till there's nothing left. When you're dead, he kicks you out the back door and puts another guy in.
And you still can't afford a house.
Yeah.
Nowadays. Nowadays. Yeah. And if you do buy a house, it's mortgaged.
Yeah.
You're paying the Jew. You're paying the same Jew that you're making money for. You're paying him when you buy your house. But you're cursed. You want to go for this. You let the guy in power. This is what you get.
Right before your retirement, they fire you.
They do all kinds of things. And that's definitely what happened to Sal. It's weird because I was thinking, I said, they're not going to like that truck. Because I always told them about the guys, how they are.
Yeah.
They're not going to like that truck sitting there for 4 days because they're thinking money.
Yeah, yeah.
Time is money. Time is money.
Yeah.
Time is money.
And you're right, it is because of the days. I didn't think about that until you mentioned it.
The days.
I met another driver a while back ago from the same company. And we exchanged, you know, contact information. We used to call each other sometimes, you know, because we used to run the same route. And he got terminated because he said he took a week. He was like me. He wanted more days off.
Yeah, that's all.
He lived in San Diego.
Yeah. Give me some time
off.
And
he wanted more days off. And he said he got terminated because he was taking too many, you know what they, but you know what they told him? They said, you got poor performance. Your performance?
Yeah, because,
poor performance because you're taking too many days off.
Yeah.
Poor performance.
The reason they terminate you is because then you can't collect unemployment, and it doesn't come out of them. They have to pay something. But I told Sal to try to get unemployment anyway. Yeah, just really. Usually unemployment people will help you. They do, because they are not one side. They don't just take the position of the employer guy. And when he goes down there, you know, he's got a good case. You know, that happened to me when I was working for this Jew guy as an optician, apprentice optician in New Jersey, in Newark. And this guy was in a real ghetto section of Newark. And he He took advantage of the poor black people, but that's another story. But his name was Dr. Sternberg. So I was doing one job, and he got rid of this one kid. He says, can you do his job till I get someone else? So now I'm doing two jobs. He never got anybody else because I'm doing both jobs. Then the third one, I said, he's not getting anybody else. I said, Dr. Sternberg, I said, look, either you got to get somebody else in here or you got to increase my salary because I'm doing three jobs over here. One person, three jobs. This is crazy. Yeah. And he wouldn't do it. He refused to do it. So he says, okay. So I did a little bit of a protest. So lunchtime was like a half hour. So I would take an extra 15 minutes and I would put my feet up on the desk and open the paper. And he comes and says, what are you doing? Your lunch has been over for 15 minutes. I says, well, I'm only going to work for what you're paying me. You know what I mean? I says, I'm doing three jobs over here, so I'm only going to... I was provoking him.
To
lay me off or something. So then I can go collect unemployment. So he finally had it. He said, that's it, you're fired. I says, good, I'll meet you at the unemployment office. So I go to the unemployment office. And with my wife over there, right, and he comes in, because he has to come in, we're getting ready to go for the employment person. And the first thing he goes up to my wife, what's your name, what's your last name, what's your parents' last name? You know how these Jews are. He's an apostate Jew, this guy. What a cheap old, I'll tell you another story about him in a minute. But, and he's asking me about, they want to know if you like got Jewish roots or something. So I told him, I said, Dr. Sternberg, you shouldn't have wasted your time, because you're going to lose. You're going to lose. So we went before the judge, says, look. He was paying me a certain salary. He let go of two people. One guy, I'm doing two jobs. Let go of a third. I'm doing three jobs for the same salary, and he never gave me an increase, and that's why I did what I did. And so she favored me, and I got the unemployment. I said, bye, Dr. Sternberg. Get your apostate Jewish ass out of here. It was funny. You want to know how cheap they are? These are true stories. Not all Jews, okay? Like you watch them here. There's some. There's different kinds of Jews, but... A lot of Jews are like this, and he's like some of their worst kind. They're really bad, man. When it comes to money, mammon. I'm working there one day, and this guy he worked for Arts High in Newark, and he wanted to get some props for his play that he was going to do. So he's collecting the garbage out Sternberg's garbage. He's got the garbage thrown out, and he's just taking his garbage so he can use the pieces for his stuff. Yeah. So he tells me, "Hey, Rich. Go out front and tell that guy's taking my garbage." I said, yeah, but it's garbage. I says, you gotta pay for it to be taken away. If they take it, they're doing you a favor. Yeah. No, that's my garbage. You tell them to come in here, and that's my garbage. I went, whoa. I said, look, Dr. Sternberg, that's his garbage. He wants you to come in and talk with him. So the guy comes in. Sternberg's sitting behind the desk. I'm standing next to the guy. And he goes, that's my garbage out there. You have no right to it. And he says, well, you're throwing it out. He goes, yeah, but it's my garbage. He goes, I can use these pieces for the play. He goes, well, he says, I want X amount of dollars for it. And so the guy took out his checkbook and he wrote him a check. And then he took the garbage. Huh? Why not cheat this bastard is? Right? Another thing.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I'm an optician, right? If you broke glasses for me and your leg, they call them arms or legs, fell off, I put the screw back in or I'll give you another leg. If you bought it from me, even if you didn't, we would do this as a service. So somebody came in and they say, Rich, I didn't buy the glasses from you, but I need a screw to put back in my arm so I can put it on the glass. It's a little screw. It costs like... 0.111 cent. Yeah. Remember Merchant of Venice?
Yeah.
That one half of 1 cent. Yeah.
One doctor.
Yeah.
Six parts.
We always give. It's. We always give them for free. We never charge, and we don't charge for adjustments.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what this guy, you know. So one of those black customers comes in, and I'm taking care of it. She goes, "I lost the screw from my leg. Can you put the screw in there?" So I go in there, I put the screw in. I get and say, thank you, and she's walking out. And he goes, no, ma'am, you have to pay for that. He says, I have to pay him, and I have to pay for that screw, so you have to pay something for that screw. And I went, this is embarrassing. Unbelievable. So he got like $2-3 out of her for a 0.111 cent. I'm going, whoa. Oh, this is, I don't know why the blacks don't rise up against them and kill them. They take advantage of the blacks in the city, too.
Yeah.
They juice them, man. Because they can't shop. They can't go to places where they can, in Spanish, or if it's a ghetto or any kind of a place, they juice you. Yeah. You're stuck going to the little store, and they pump the prices up fivefold.
Yeah.
Here's the poor person. You got to buy five times what it costs if you're in a rich area. Yeah. And you're poor. Figure that one out. You don't. Then I know the apostate Jew real well. Most of them. No, I'm not saying they're all like that. Yeah. But the ones that are like that, whoa. Yeah. It is true. It's in the Bible. Mammon is their god. They become very perverse. Not all the Jews are like that, but a lot of them are.
Yeah.
A lot of them are.
Did she get me the
month? Huh?
Yesterday.
What's that?
Merchant of Venice yesterday.
Yeah.
Merchant of Venice. Just watch The Merchant of Venice. Yeah. What a great movie that is. And true.
Yeah.
And true. My ducats. My Jessica. My ducats. My Jessica. The ducats won out.
Yeah.
My ducats. My Jessica. Yeah. What do you say? I would have never sold her ring for a wilderness of monkeys. They took my ducats. My money. Oh, what was so great about it, how they got him in the end.
Oh, that,
that was the greatest. And so true.
Yeah.
So true. That was that. It was a great movie. But, oh, you know, no, my father, because he was a doctor, we used to go on vacation down in Florida, like Diplomat Hotel in Hollywood, Florida, run by Jews, Freemasons. And a lot of movie stars will go there and all that. So we would go down there. Mostly we go there a lot. Sometimes it goes somewhere else, mostly down there. And there's a lot of Jews there. And the Jews... Well, you're going to dinner, right? Like it's the summer. You're in Florida, right? They would wear their fur coats. They would wear their best, and they would walk around in the lobby, like just showing off there.
Yeah.
You can see it. Who's got a better fur coat than the other one? And then when we used to go by the soda shop, we get the soda shop. We would throw a penny on the ground and see how quick it took before a Jew would pick it up. Me and my brother, we throw pennies now, and we watch. That penny won't be there more than 2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's gone. And if two Jews get a hold of it and they start pulling on it, that's how you make copper wire. Apostate Jews. Now, again, I say not all Jews are like that. Apostate Jews even. Some are better, but a lot are like that. So this is a true story. What was when I was working at the Kennedy Center, my brother-in-law was the manager. And my sister married him. And anyway... But he managed the whole Kennedy Center. And he had me as a waiter. And we were waiting at this real fancy white glove thing. I had to put white gloves on, and I'm handing out hors d'oeuvres. And this Jewish lady takes this hors d'oeuvre, and she goes, "This hors d'oeuvre is cold. It's not hot enough. It's cold." She says, "Come over here, boy. I'm coming. I'm writing down on this paper, March 7th, 1985, at 2 p.m., I took an hors d'oeuvre from his plate that was not warm enough. Sign it." She wanted me to sign it. I went, "I ain't signing that. Get out of here. I'm not signing that." I wanted to smack her in the head.
Know.
I ain't signing nothing. I told my brother-in-law. And, I mean, she went ballistics.
Yeah.
Ballistics.
Yeah.
She probably wanted to sue.
Yeah.
She said, my brother-in-law, Ted Kennedy, went, they had like a... Art, it was at the Kennedy Center. They had like plays and had operas. And he said when Ted Kennedy used to go there, he'd bring him like 2 bottles of whiskey and they'd be gone by the end of the.
Lush.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was there, they had a big fate. I think Muhammad Ali was there, Frank Gifford, William Simon, that apostate Jew, secretary of the bank, the Federal Reserve Bank, okay. William Simon. He was there, and then when Ted Kennedy came in, and Ted Kennedy was there, and I'm just serving the hors d'oeuvres. Howard Cosell was there, too. It was funny, because nobody was running the party to Howard Cosell, you know, or a guy, William Simon, right? So also, Ted Kennedy comes walking in, it was like, whoa, everybody started running after him like it was God.
Yeah.
And, whoa, the whole, I mean, adults, grown people, oh, they're going like this. A cameraman comes over to me and he goes, go over here and try to offer him a hors d'oeuvre so I can get a picture with you, give him a hors d'oeuvre. He says, get your hands off of me. I ain't going near nobody. I went the opposite way. And here's Cosell and the guy Williams. I'm giving him some hors d'oeuvres. I'm saying, I'm not going near these people. Yeah. They're wacky. Yeah. I mean, they went nuts. Yeah. It was like he was the Messiah. Yeah. Wow. Frank Gifford was, Ted Kennedy when he came in. Wow. Whoa. It was unbelievable.
How about Yoav Shamir's mom? Like, we should talk about the Jews in America.
She's a good, yeah. Yoav Shamir's mom was good,
yeah, right.
And him.
Right.
So not all Jews are like that. And she said, the Jews in America are thieves. Yeah. They're gangsters. And he goes, what do you mean? That's not, he says, they don't work for a living. They make money off of other people. That's his own mother.
Yeah.
And she's a Jew.
Yeah.
So you got different kinds of Jews.
The monkey business.
So anyway, I wasn't going to even do a lecture today, but as always, we did a lecture. What time is it anyway?
Almost noon.
Okay. We'll get ready to do the... any questions from anybody? Mm-hmm.